Thank you for your regular and generous support of Issues Etc. in the past year, 2008. A good summary of my hopes for Issues Etc. for 2009 are St. Paul's words to the Colossians. Pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Thank you again for your support of Issues Etc. We'll continue defending the faith, teaching the truth, and making the most of every opportunity to proclaim Christ and Him crucified. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We started this series about a year, maybe 2 years ago now, responding to evangelical proof texts. What we found was there were a lot of texts from Scripture that were being used as proof texts in evangelical circles, broadly evangelical circles, that were fraught with problems, not the texts themselves, but the interpretation. And so we started this series responding to evangelical proof texts. We revive it today on Issues Etc., heading right back into one of the more difficult ones, Ezekiel chapter 37. Now, the story itself is familiar. It's a vision of Ezekiel about a valley of dry bones. They all rattle. They all get together. Before you know it, there's a mighty army living and breathing standing right before him. I was always taught that this was about the resurrection, about the restoration of Israel, and then through Israel, through Christ, all of the world. Little did I know that that interpretation was not the only interpretation, that elsewhere in other churches, people were being told an entirely different interpretation of Ezekiel's dry bones. Pastor Brent McGuire is our guest. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Dallas, Texas. Brent, welcome back.
Good to be here.
Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or TalkBack at issuesetc.org. I told everybody how it was interpreted when I heard it preached and described in Sunday school. How was this Valley of Dry Bones story interpreted when you were growing up in evangelical circles?
It was used as a prophecy of the regathering of the nation of Israel. So it was interpreted in a strictly political way.
So, what was it as simple as this is a prophecy of Israel's reinstatement as a nation state in 1948?
Yeah, that's right. Very elaborate explanation went along with it. The story goes, and I suppose the facts of the story itself are true, though what one might raise an eyebrow at their application. The story is that in the middle of World War I, England, desperate for a solution to their losing ground to their foreign enemies, greatly benefited from the invention of TNT, dynamite. And a formula was come up with by a guy named Chaim Weizmann, a Zionist Jew. And the invention of dynamite was such a boon to the English that David Lloyd George asked this professor, this scientist, Chaim Weizmann, to name his prize. And his request was that land be set aside for the return of Jews to their homeland. And this promise on behalf of the English government came in the form of what's called the Balfour Declaration, and that was the beginning, at least politically, of what would in 1948 become fact, the reinstatement of Israel as a nation state. And so that little detail about the invention of dynamite playing a part in the regathering of Israel was used as the fulfillment of the shaking and rattling of the dry bones in Ezekiel 37. See, it's obvious, isn't it?
Oh, okay. The loud sound produced by the rattling of the bones was somehow tied into the explosive nature of TNT.
Yes.
Did you take that seriously at the time, and did that seem like a rational and reasonable leap from rattling bones to the sound of explosions?
Well, as at the time, I don't know that I found it as absurd as I do now, because that was typical of the approach in general to prophetic statements in the Bible, a kind of connecting facts of current events, headlines in the news, with verses and chapters of the Bible. And when you're told that you know, something like 90% of the prophecies in the Bible are yet to be fulfilled, or were left unfulfilled at the close of the canon, then things like this get done, and with regularity, you begin to accept them. This is the way you take a strange passage, a vision passage of Scripture. You look for things in the world today that seem to line up with the details, and here was one of those ways in which you could make events in our recent past kind of line up with the language of Scripture.
So this is really, I mean, this particular interpretation of Ezekiel 37 was really just symptomatic of a greater problem in the branch of evangelicalism you grew up in. That is, the Bible was interpreted, not in every case, of course, but especially Bible prophecy was generally deemed to be largely unfulfilled, awaiting a fulfillment in the end time somewhere in the geopolitical unfolding of human events, not fulfilled in the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And one of the realizations I came to becoming a Lutheran was to recognize how that kind of approach to biblical prophecy basically entails a jumping over the cross, a skipping past Christ's earthly ministry, death and resurrection, and going straight to a literalistic physical fulfillment of those wonderful places, such as Ezekiel 37, which point instead to things that Christ did through his perfect life and death.
Now, I'm wondering if the how would you rightly respond to those who say, look, it's so obvious that this is about Israel. It even says this is the household of Israel. They're all going to get up and stand on their feet. There can't, even if you want to lay aside the whole dynamite theory and the rattling of bones, there can't be a better explanation than the reinstatement of the nation state of Israel. How would you respond to this?
Well, I think one place to go would be the Gospels, and to look at the ways in which the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the experts in the law are misunderstanding Jesus, and that so often their expectations of the kind of Christ, the kind of Savior that he's come to be, are way off the mark. And that Jesus is continually correcting them as to how he's going to go about bringing salvation, and that salvation isn't just for ethnic Jews, it's for everyone, all sinners. And then to show that, might it be possible that the same misunderstanding of Jesus of which the Pharisees and teachers of the law were guilty is present in such an understanding of prophecies such as this. And then to move to this point, namely that, isn't it striking how throughout the New Testament there really is no mention of fulfillment of the land promises in the Old Testament, which is really how this Ezekiel 37 is being treated. This is yet another promise that Israel's going to get its land back. Ezekiel's writing during the exile, and so the Jews are scattered, and the premillennialists, the left behind authors, see this as necessarily referring to some time in the future in which the ethnic Jews will be allowed to come back and re-inhabit that land that God had given them. Well, such a promise is not picked up by Paul or the evangelists or Peter. It's nowhere to be found in those writings. Why is this? Could it be that having such an expectation was part and parcel of the misunderstanding of Jesus' kingdom in the first place? So, I mean, that's where I would start in terms of at least opening the person's mind to the possibility that it's not to be taken literalistically or physically. And one of the verses for that is within the prophecy itself, namely, God tells Ezekiel, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." And, well, how are you going to go with that? If you put it in the context of Ezekiel in the exile, the whole house of Israel doesn't go back to Israel. When after the period of captivity, they're allowed to repatriate, it's only a handful that really go back.
Let's take a break right here, because I guess the next question on top of that one would be, and of course, those who went back to Israel in 1948 are certainly not the whole house. There is a sticking point there, isn't there? Well, when we come back, we'll talk more about this evangelical proof text for what they say is the prophecy of the return of ethnic Jews to the nation state of Israel, Ezekiel chapter 37. Pastor Brent McGuire is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. John Poindexter, Sally Hack, Mark McKeela, Lori McKeela, James Schabel, Pastor Jamie Bosma, Heidi Gallus, Christine Bosma, Patricia Bush, and Christine Buettner. Thanks for your support.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely upon you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. presents Jesus Christ and His saving work out of the text of the Bible. The teaching of Christ alone is the driving force of this program. It deals with the important issues of our time with carefully chosen guests and hosts who are knowledgeable in the scriptures, history, and their application. On Issues Etc., you will not hear pop evangelicalism, but confessional Lutheran theology fluently presented.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, Issues Etc. Thanks for your support.
So have you ever heard that the dry bones in Ezekiel 37, that vision of Ezekiel the prophet, is about the rebirth of the nation state of Israel? We're talking about that evangelical proof text. Pastor Brent McGuire is our guest. You can join us. We're coming to you live this Monday, the 12th of January. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Brent McGuire is pastor of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Dallas, Texas. Well, okay, the alternate explanation that you gave before the break is certainly not as interesting as the invention of TNT and bargaining for free land for the return of ethnic Jews to a new reinstated nation state of Israel. It's not as interesting, but of course, interesting is not always the standard by which we judge whether or not something is a faithful interpretation of any passage of Scripture. You were talking about the land promises before, and I'm wondering, why do the dispensational and then kind of generally evangelical interpretation of this text, why are they driven so much by what they considered to be unfulfilled land promises?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with a mistaken interpretive approach, which is to deny what Christ himself says, that you read the Scriptures searching for life, and they testify of me. The Scriptures point to Jesus, and there is a lot of language in the Old Testament, land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land, and certainly the land of Palestine was used over and over again by the prophets as a type of God's spiritual gifts, but stuck in a kind of literalistic reading of those verses means that you're constantly looking for things like political successes in the life of the country of Israel today, and leads certainly, and we see this among a lot of the evangelical leaders, a kind of one-sided support of Israel over against Israel's kind of political neighbors and even enemies.
You were talking about the whole house of Israel before the break, that this really is a problem for those who want to interpret Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones, as literally fulfilled in the reestablishment of the nation state of Israel. You said even at the time of the exile, it wouldn't have been the whole house of Israel restored to the land. Pick up where you left off.
Well, right. And then as you added, in 1948, again, a disappointing fact for those who read Ezekiel 37 this way, is that not all Jews return to Israel to be part of that new nation state. And it looks very much like that will never happen, that there will be this this Zionist movement among Jews in the world who think it important that they return to their homeland as they see it. But that's by no means a majority view among Jews. And even those who support the Zionist movement don't themselves live in Israel. What really puts a wrench in the works is what the New Testament gives us in terms of understanding Scripture's use of the word Israel. And Paul is quite clear in Romans chapter 9 when addressing this question of how can it be that Jesus' own reject him? How can it be that the people of God in Old Testament times are in large numbers not responding in by believing in Christ to the message that Paul and the apostles are proclaiming? And he begins by saying it's not God's word's fault. It's not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. In other words, not all those who are in the bloodline of Abraham make or constitute, comprise what God calls Israel. So that Israel is to be understood, Paul is telling us, as all believers in Christ, whatever their ethnicity, Jews and Gentiles, make up this spiritual group called Israel. Paul uses that same language again at the end of Galatians. He says, peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. Israel is a word for God's people, those who believe in His Son. It's not a narrow biological designation. It speaks to it refers to that group of believers who have faith in Jesus Christ, and that would include Gentiles too. So go back to Ezekiel 37. This promise of the whole house of Israel being quickened, having the Holy Spirit breathed into them, is a promise of the new life that comes by the work of the Holy Spirit, who brings us dead, spiritually dead human beings to new life again. That's what Ezekiel 37 is about, and that interpretation is certainly more consistent with the rest of Scripture than is the interpretation that would have it be a prophecy of the 1948 or even before that, the Balfour Declaration regarding the State of Israel.
It struck me while you were describing that, Pastor McGuire, that the real weakness, perhaps not the greatest weakness of this, but one of the weaknesses of this nation state of Israel is the fulfillment of the dry bones prophecy, is that it simply is too small an interpretation. It limits everything to ethnic Israel. It limits everything to a piece of property in the Middle East. It limits everything to that kind of parochial political interpretation.
Exactly. You said earlier the conventional, if I could use that word, or traditional Christian interpretation of Ezekiel 37, it may not be as interesting as the dynamite story, but I think at a certain level, the dynamite story, it's too clever, but it's by no means more comforting, and it's by no means more exciting than that interpretation that puts it within the template of Christ as the fulfillment of Scriptures, and recognizing that what God is doing here through His prophet Ezekiel is pointing ahead to the means by which He is going to raise us up, give us whose verdict, whose just judgment is death and eternal death at that, and He is going to make it possible for us to live again. I mean, Scripture is quite clear that we are dead. There is nothing in us to save us, to cause life to be in us again. And no wonder Ezekiel responds to that first question from God as to, you know, can these bones live? You know, Ezekiel's got to be thinking, well, of course not. And so he says, "O Lord, You know." You know, there's nothing in the bones themselves to give Ezekiel or any of us any hope that life could be formed again in them. It's up to the Lord to do that. And that, I think, is part of what Ezekiel's response is telling us. Oh, Lord, You know. It's Your call, God. If they are to have life in them, it's up to You, because dead people can't make themselves walk again. And it's like watching Lazarus being commanded by Jesus to come forth, and He does, but only by the power of God's Word. That's what this is all about, and to think that Ezekiel 37 is something as narrow and time-specific as the 1948 reinstatement of Israel as a nation-state robs Christians of the great comfort that this picture gives us of what happens when God's Word changes our hearts and brings us to saving faith in Jesus Christ, and with Jesus knowing that we will rise again. So it's both a prophecy of a spiritual resurrection that we experience even now, this side of our deaths, but because that spiritual resurrection takes place now, also there will be a physical resurrection, just as strange and amazing and marvelous to behold as the scene pictured for us in Ezekiel 37, when on that last day, we who believe in Christ will be raised from the dead and given glorified bodies to live forever.
Pastor Brent McGuire is pastor of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Dallas. Thanks so much for being our guest.
My pleasure.
We have an article written by Pastor McGuire titled, Will You Be Left Behind?, posted under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. We'll continue our series on responding to evangelical proof text tomorrow on the program. Pastor Stephen Parks will join us on the passage from Isaiah 45, Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. What's usually taught there? Well, God's waiting for you to turn. You can do it. Don't worry. He's just waiting for you to act first. When we come back, Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., Brian Gadawa will talk a little bit about the Golden Globe Awards and the baptism of Jesus with Dr. Arthur Just. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.